Hello, this is Laura Smith, and you are listening to the Radical Radiance Podcast.
Hey, friends, welcome back to the Radical Radiance Podcast. I am your host, Rebecca George, and I am so excited about today's conversation with my new friend, Laura Smith, all about mental health. How do we hold both our faith and our mental health and care for this aspect of our lives really well? She shares so much wisdom with us on this topic, and I think you're going to be really, really encouraged by her. So help me welcome our new friend, Laura, to the show. Laura, I am so excited to have you today and just excited about the conversation that we get to have about your new book. So thanks for being with me.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, I've been really excited about this conversation because I think it really matters for this. You could argue it's mattered in any season, but the conversations that we're now having about mental health, I think are so healthy and so healthy to have within the church. And I'm just excited to dig into this new book that you've written. It's called Holy Care for the Whole Self. And I always love, especially with, you know, just interesting topics that maybe we don't talk about as much on the show. And I would say mental health is maybe one of those that historically we've talked about, but maybe not as much. I would love to hear just your heart and kind of the story behind how you became passionate about helping us care for our whole well-being and how it's not only biblical, but it helps us live the life Christ calls us to.
Absolutely. So, you know, 1 Corinthians 6:19 tells us that the Holy Spirit lives within us. Mm-hmm. And back, if you go back to Genesis, it says we're created in God's image. So I think in our culture, there's so many things we have to do, so many things we want to do. Are we drinking our greens? Are we making the sourdough bread? Are we cleaning
That's right.
our house, right? Like, are we doing all the things, let alone our actual work and like taking out the trash and, you know, yeah. taking care of our families and our friends and all the things that we tend to forget about ourselves, caring about ourselves. Mm-hmm. And yet the Holy Spirit lives within us. Like, if that's not motivation yeah. to take care of ourselves, I don't know what is. We're created in God's image. That means we are worthy of care. I think sometimes we're trying to be selfless by caring just for others and taking care of the responsibilities. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. We're called to do that too. But God, we are image bearers. So it is actually important for us to take care of ourselves because we're taking care of little pieces of the kingdom, of little miracles that God created. And if we don't, then we're not able to do the work God calls us to well. We're not able to love the people God puts in front of us well. And we just kind of burn out and stress out and operate from less than our full potential. And, you know, God offers this abundant life. Why would we operate in less than what He has for us?
Yeah. And I think sometimes it can almost be framed, whether this is intentional or not, as almost like an extra frivolous thing to focus on, right? We wouldn't say that, right? But we certainly live like it at times. And there's also kind of this shame narrative that has existed for a very long time around mental health. Mm-hmm. And caring for that aspect of our life. And so I just wonder with your own personal journey and your journey to this book, what caused you to have a little bit of passion bubble up in your heart around this topic?
Yeah, for sure. I grew up with some trauma in my household. Mm-hmm. And growing up, that was just all I knew.
Yeah.
It was the lens I saw things through. What was going on in my house was what was going on in my house, right? And it took me years and years to realize that that was wrong. Like, part of me knew it wasn't normal. And when I finally figured out it wasn't just not normal, but wrong, then it took me even more years to figure out how that had affected me. I actually suffer from PTSD from some of the things that happened growing up, but I had no idea I was suffering from that.
Sure.
And I am super blessed. I have this incredible husband who loves me really well and has helped bring me to wholeness through his good love and healthy love. we have such a good Lord who loves me so well, and spending time with Jesus and in prayer and in my Bible has healed me so much too, learning truths and kind of tearing down some of the lies I believed growing up. But it wasn't until a few years ago that I started seeing a counselor, and the way counseling has helped me put language to what has happened to me.
Sure.
Even help normalize a lot of the things. Like I said, I have PTSD, but I had no idea I did. So there are things that I do that always seemed like I overreact. I freak out. I'm super whatever, fill in the blank. Aren't actually because there's something wrong with me. It's just my body's way of responding to what happened to me.
Yeah.
And what healing and freedom there is just in that, even before you start taking the steps to learning how to deal with it, to just be like, oh, there's not something wrong with me. Like, I just went through something. And along my journey, I was like, wow, this has been so freeing and healing for me and helping me walk more into the fullness God has for me. I want that for everybody. You know, Jesus wants fullness. He said he came so that we can have life and have it abundantly in John 10:10. That's what he wants for us. So I was missing out on some of that abundance. And I know that's not Jesus's desire for us. So I just learned so much along my mental health journey. I want to shout from the mountaintops, like, Jesus cares about your mental health. He does. He wants fullness for you there too. So I wrote a book to tell people about it.
I had the honor of endorsing the Rebecca's Reads book for February, Legacy Changer, Heal the Hurt, Redeem Your Story, Create Hope for Your Family by Kristen Hallinan. Do you feel desperate for a change in your family? Maybe it feels difficult to put your finger on the root of the pain or know why you feel anxious. You want to heal from the past, but you're not sure how? If you want to see what God's Word has to say about unhealthy relationships or setting boundaries, go grab a copy of Legacy Changer by my friend Kristen at the link in the show notes today or wherever you like to buy books. I love that. I love how you mentioned at the top of the episode about how in caring for our mental health, we're truly setting ourselves up to be able to steward the temple, our own bodies that God has given us, our dwelling place with God, this side of heaven, right? Yeah. In a more full way. And our mental health is a piece of that, right? So I just wonder, you know, there's this kind of phrase that we'll see, I think, in some messaging in the last few years and things like that. And I think it's a healthy conversation of the intersection between faith and mental health, right? We hear that phrase a lot. And I wonder, could you share a little bit about why you think we've tried to separate these two over the years? And you shared a lot about like the need to not no longer, right?
Right.
But maybe why has that been the case? And if someone is coming to the conversation today feeling like, man, I don't understand why this matters to me. We've biblically talked about that, but maybe the history of it might help us understand why it's felt so separate, you know?
So I feel like there are two things. One, I think that part of the Christian church fears that things that are scientific are not biblical, that science and God are at war with each other, but that is not actually true. I've been amazed, and part of what happens in this book is me explaining how many ways that mental health professionals are telling us to take care of our mental health are straight from the Bible.
Yeah.
Which makes so much sense to me because God wants fullness for us.
What are some examples of that?
Okay. So like community, one of the top things a mental health professional will tell you is like, you shouldn't be alone. God says it at the beginning, it is not good for man to be alone, right? Like he was telling us that. And you see throughout the Bible how important community is for, you know, Noah on his ark. He doesn't go by himself. He takes his family with him. And you see Ruth and Naomi, like they don't travel together back to Bethlehem. I mean, they don't do it alone. They go together. And Jesus could have certainly spent his 3 years in ministry by himself, but he brought 12 disciples and close into his inner circle with him to travel with him and camp out with him and eat with him. Like we aren't meant to do this alone. So that's so biblical. God tells us to do that. And mental health professionals are just catching up. Certainly prayer. Mental health professionals talk all about you need to do some form of meditation to kind of calm your inner spirit. And the research they've done shows that actually when people pray to a higher power, it's much more effective than meditation. And this helps reduce our anxiety, reduce depression, calm our central nervous system. Prayer does. Like, that's biblical and scientific, right? Things like helping others. I mean, Jesus tells us to feed the hungry and care for the poor and care for the widows. And when we actually serve others, it's a huge mental health boost. It helps us get out of our own worries and concerns. It helps remind us how much we have. It gives us a sense of that we have worth because we can actually help others. Same with gratitude. How many times in the Bible does it say to give thanks? You know, God is giving us that specific directive. And scientifically, we cannot be experiencing anxiety in the same moment that we are giving thanks. Our brains can't do it. Our brains can't do both at the same time. So if we take time to give thanks for anything and really mean it, like we're not just saying like, thank you, God, for this day. But if we're like, God, thank you for this day, that I'm alive today, that I woke up in a soft bed, that I have a roof over my head on a really cold day, that I have a hot cup of coffee. You know, when you start actually thanking God, you cannot be anxious in those moments.
Yeah.
So those are just a few, but I mean, like over and over, like the directives that God has given us don't counter science. Science is just catching up to what God has been telling us all along.
That's so good.
I think one of the other problems is there are some verses in the Bible that have been misconstrued. I think 1 Peter 5:7 that says, cast all your anxiety on God, and Philippians 4:6 that says, do not be anxious. Those are true. Like, I cling to those verses.
Yeah.
But let's dig into them. That doesn't mean if I have a mental health disorder that I can just be like, okay, I cast it on God. I'm not going to be anxious. Yeah. I'm cool. Like, and I fear that, well, I know I have friends in the church who have been told like, just cast your cares on God. Like it says, don't be anxious. Don't. Yeah. But it's not that easy. And what those verses really say are like, if you are struggling, come to Jesus, like cast your cares on him. Say, I am struggling getting out of the bed in the morning because I'm fighting depression. Help me, Lord. Give me tools. Should I see a counselor? If so, which one? Do I need medication or not? Help me know, God. Help me discern, right? And even Philippians 4:6 that says, do not be anxious. It says, but pray. Like, don't be anxious, but pray. So yes, it's not saying like you can just snap your fingers. It's saying like, take these things. These are real things. Gosh, if you read the Psalms, you see how many emotions God acknowledges and sees us in, all of the emotions. And take them to the Lord and ask him for community if you don't have any. Help him, ask him for ideas on how to do that. If you don't know where to serve, ask him ways you can serve. Like, take these cares to God. So those are a couple ways I think that faith and mental health have been separated, but they've really belonged together all along because God cares about our whole self.
I also want to point out the verse that you talked about not being anxious also involves thanksgiving, right? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and thanksgiving, make your request known to God. So we're not only turning to him in prayer, but we're also turning to him in thanksgiving, which shifts everything like you're talking about in those. That's two of those strategies in one verse that, you know, science is just now catching up to scripture with, right? And so, but I love how you point that out of how we have most certainly twisted those verses and just kind of slapped them as a label on top of a struggle that oftentimes is much deeper and does have science behind it of how our brains are wired and how we're living in brokenness and how we're navigating that this side of heaven, right? And there's more than just, oh, this is the easy answer when we're really, really struggling. And that brings me to, if someone, let's say, saw the title of this podcast episode and they're listening because they are really struggling in some way with their mental health. Perhaps it's depression. Perhaps it's really debilitating anxiety, and they don't know where to turn. And this is maybe one of the more healthy conversations they've heard about how we hold both our faith and mental health. How would you want to encourage them today if they're really struggling?
Yeah. First of all, I would encourage them to give themselves grace.
Yeah.
Like, it's a real thing they're struggling with. Even if other people don't understand it or recognize it, what they're feeling and going through is real. So first I just say, hey, give yourself some grace.
Yeah.
And then second, I would just say, reach out to someone. Don't do this on your own. Don't do this alone. Like, you're not meant to. And we talked about that, how important community is. But I mean, text a friend and say, I'm not feeling okay. I'm struggling today. Call your mom or your sister or your pastor or a woman in your Bible study or the woman you play pickleball with, or just tell somebody, because you're not supposed to do it alone. So I would think those would be like the first couple steps. And then I would say, just spend some time on your knees. Just say, Jesus, help me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm struggling and I need you. So those would be like three things they can do, like as they're like, turn off the podcast right now.
Yeah.
And give yourself some grace and text a friend and ask if you could get together with them, because you've just got stuff that you feel is too heavy to carry. And then get on your knees and just ask God for help, because he loves you so much. He wants to give you help. He does. Yeah. That's his aim. He wants goodness for you.
Yeah. So good. So good. The other piece of this that I think has to be addressed is, we've all probably had moments where we've struggled in our mental health in the past, or maybe we will in our future, or maybe we are today in this moment. We also are walking alongside others, friends, maybe we're a caretaker, or it's our spouse or a close family member who is struggling.
Yeah.
And there's also a very real piece of this that is, how do we navigate that when we're walking in community, as we've talked about a lot, with someone who's struggling? So how would you encourage listeners to support somebody, and maybe even in particular, support them for the long haul when they have maybe struggled, are struggling, and maybe continue to struggle?
Yeah, for sure. I would say, number one, prayer, pray for that person. You can pray, like, I love to actually put my hand on someone's shoulder and pray out loud for them. And that is a beautiful thing. But if you're not with them, or if they're not comfortable with that, you can pray for them every single day on your own.
Yeah. Like,
you have a direct connect with God. You don't have to make an appointment. You don't have to get through a secretary. Like, he is waiting and he wants to heal that person, because he created them in his image also. Mm. So your prayer is asking for healing and help for that person. He so much wants to be a part of that. I also just acknowledge that what they're going through is real. Because a lot of times, if someone is claustrophobic, if they are anxious, they could be feeling something. If they're struggling from PTSD, if they're schizophrenic, like, they're experiencing something that to you, you're in a normal room, you're in a normal restaurant, you're at a normal concert, but they are having serious, real things. So when they say that this stresses them out, that they're feeling anxious, that this really makes them sad, that this is paralyzing to them, acknowledge that is real, even if it's not real for you, that that is the reality they're going through. So just like, really say, hey, thanks for telling me. How can we help? What can we do? You know, acknowledge it is real. And then last, I would say, just keep checking in on them. Like, don't have it be a one and done. I prayed for them. Cool. I texted them a recommendation for a counselor. Okay. If you did you follow up? Did they call that counselor? Did they need help finding another one? Like, how can you be there for them? And that, you know, depending on your relationship with that person, doesn't have to be something that becomes a burden to you, but just out of love for that person, how do you consistently just check in on them, see how they're doing, show them that you love them.
Yeah. So good. So, so good. Well, I want at the end of the episode for you to share with everybody a little bit more about the book, where they can find it, and all of those things. But before we go, there is a question that I ask every guest that comes on the podcast. The heart for Radical Radiance is really to help women see what it looks like to radiate the heart of Christ in their life, their work, their relationships, their mental health. It's a wide umbrella of things that we talk about around here, with an emphasis on Psalm 34, verse 5, which says, those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be covered in shame. And so the question I love asking all of my guests is, in this season of your life, what about Jesus makes you radiant?
Gosh, I love that so much. For me right now, it is just that Jesus loves me exactly for me, who he created me to be. And that's the same for everyone listening. He loves you for exactly who he created you to be. I love that part in the verse that we don't have to feel any shame. Because all of us at some point in our lives have been told we're too loud or too quiet or too much or not enough, or we should be more like this or more like that. And certainly social media, which I do enjoy social media, but it will tell us every day what we should be doing that we aren't, possibly. And Jesus says, no, like, you want to dance, girl? Dance around your kitchen. You need some quiet time? Take some quiet time. You love reading books? Like, read books. You know, I think Jesus made us exactly who we are. And so there's this wonderful awesomeness that we can delight in the things he created us to delight. And so for me, that's just been something I've just been really feeling lately, just this delighting in what he's called me to delight in. And I love that about him so much, that he loves us that much and wants that much goodness for us, is radical and radiant. So
I love that. I love that so much. Well, I want you to share with everybody, where can they connect with you? Where can they grab the book? I'm going to say the title of it one more time. It's called Holy Care for the Whole Self. So tell us all the places.
Absolutely. My website, laurasmithauthor.com, has all the things, free resources, links to the books, blogs, you know, all the fun stuff. Also, Instagram is my favorite social media place to hang out. That's also at Laura Smith Author. Again, links, freebies, podcast conversations, all the stuff.
Awesome. Well, I have just loved this conversation that I feel is so important for us right now. So thank you for writing what feels like a really important book that matters a lot right now. And I'm excited for listeners who may be struggling, may have someone in their life who is struggling, to use this as a resource. So thank you again for just doing the hard work of putting this message together.
Well, thank you so much for honoring it and having me on here. And I'm just praying that God will use it for his glory.
Me too. Amen. Thanks, friend.
Thank you.
I hope you were just as encouraged as I was by Laura's wisdom. And hey, if you thought about a friend throughout listening to this episode that you think would be encouraged by this conversation, would you consider sharing it with them, getting these episodes into the hands of more women who could use the encouragement of what it looks like to radiate the heart of Jesus in all that we do? That's what I'm about around here. And it really helps us get it into the hands of more people when you guys share it. So if you do that for me, that would be so, so amazing. And I just can't wait to be back with you next week. We're going to have another amazing episode for you, and I will chat with you then.